Good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day, all you moms out there. We love you all. We're glad you're here with us this morning. We all please stand as we sing Hosanna in the Highest. His holy name. We bow your heads as we open up with a prayer. Dear Lord God, we praise you and lift up your holy name this morning. You are saying Hosanna in the highest because you are the highest, God. And we lift up all of our praise to you this morning, Lord. I ask your anointing of your Holy Spirit be upon our service, upon our worship, and especially upon the word that your pastor has ready for us this morning, God. Speak it into our hearts and change us into what you want us to be with your holy word. And I thank you for the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may sit down briefly. Please read your bulletins. If you don't have one, please grab one and take it with you. A lot of announcements. First and foremost, there's no youth group tonight as Richie and Cynthia went away for their anniversary. So I'm glad and happy for them to get away. And then Wednesday prayer meeting and all that is on schedule. Look in there. Men's and Boys Night, May 23rd, Primandy Brothers in Weirton. If you plan to attend, please sign up above the water cooler out there. We need to kind of know so we can make a reservation, because when like 25 of us show up without a reservation, they get a little weird, all right? So please sign that up so we can make a reservation. Then also, if you want a Missions Motorcycle Ride t-shirt, you need to go and sign up for that. That's coming down very quickly for those. And then also for the Missions Motorcycle Ride is May 30th. That's coming very rapidly. Listen first and foremost on that. We usually have around 50 motorcycles that ride in that. And we need prayer for safety. That's our main concern. I know we're doing a fundraiser, but safety needs to be at the forefront of all of that. So please pray for that. And we need volunteers to work the event here at the church. So if you're willing to do that, see Matt McMasters, and he'll sign you up on that and let you know where you can fit in. Also, don't forget the community breakfast coming up at Quinn Memorial Church in Steubenville on May 23rd as well. And then we ask all ladies to stop after service. WMU has a gift for you as you leave the church. And I just want to tell everybody, Happy Mother's Day. All you moms, Happy Mother's Day. And Mom, I'm not taking you out to eat today. That's not going to happen, so forget it, all right? But I love you. I took my mom out for Mother's Day on Thursday night, and I took her out to eat to get crab legs, all you could eat. The problem, I'm really cruel, right? Because my mom can't crack them. So I took my beautiful wife, who hates seafood, gave her a pair of Playtex gloves, and she sat there and cracked all my mom's crab legs. Because she loves her too. Well, moms, I pray today is a blessing to you. And then one more announcement, and I waited till last so that you can try to remember this. But we need to move some tables downstairs after the service. We have elections. We'll be here on Tuesday. So we need to set that up. So if you can possibly stay, the more the merrier, because it'll probably take about 15 minutes, maybe tops, if everybody pitches in and helps. So move tables directly after service. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Larry. All right. We all please stand. You know, no matter how many times I watch the news, every day I'm surprised at how messed up this world is. But I tell you what, we do have the answer to this messed up world, and that answer is Jesus. Amen. And the sooner he comes back to this world, the better off we're going to be.
Today be the day.
bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. I will worship your holy
follow you in all that you say and all that you ask us to do. So, Lord, we are here to lift you up. We're here to praise you. We're here to honor you. We're here to bring glory to you. You are the one who's being worshiped. And, Lord, we come in a heart of repentance and ask that you forgive us of our sins. There will be nothing that would stand in the way of this worship. There be nothing to stand in the way of your Holy Spirit moving powerfully through your word today. So, Lord, we lift this worship to you. We pray, Lord, that you would be blessed by it. The fragrance would be sweet to you. And Lord, as we come now in the giving of our tithes and our offerings, Lord, that we would bless you like you have blessed us. And Lord, we know that you have blessed us richly and you've given us so much. So Lord, if we have a dollar, let's put it in. If we need one, let's take it out. But Lord, it would all be for your glory, all used for your honor. So Lord, we just ask that you move mightily through this act of worship. And as always, Lord, if I'm going to say something that's not right or not true, out of context, that you would silence my lips. Refuse to let me say it, because I want glory and honor to you at all times. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All I got to say, Kenny's nice try. We know who the true favorite is right here. I ain't going to get into it. It's a family matter. But I'm going to tell you he lost. Love you, brother. All right. Who's ready to hear from the Lord? Amen. Amen. Well, get open to Matthew, because today I'm going to be in the second of these I wills of Jesus Christ. I came out of the I ams, and then I'm going to the I wills, all right? And so we're going to get there where Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus comes and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, there is a medical doctor by the name of Sandra Dalton Smith who wrote the book Sacred Rest. And she says that there are seven types of rest. And then she comes at the very end of this article and she throws in an extra one at the end just as a bonus. Now, I want you to listen to these. The first one is physical rest. Now, we all know what that is, right? We all know what physical rest is, to be physically exhausted. So she says there's physical rest, and we know about that. And then there's mental rest, because you can get mentally tired and you can get mentally exhausted. Amen. But now listen to the rest of these. There is sensory rest. Let me tell you, that's for our day, right here. That's for our day, because this is the constant stimulation from screens, conversations, lights, music, pets, and children, and the such, right? She says we've got to have a rest from all this stuff that bombards us, our senses and our sensory perceptions, right? And number four is emotional rest. And number five is social rest. This doctor says we need to understand the limits of the things that we get socially involved in. Again, how true that is, amen? That's true, right? We got to be watching what we get involved in. That there is, and also then there is creative rest. I never thought about this before, but for those of us working in creative fields, more like administrative fields or designing fields or things like that, right? This deals with problem solving, deals with brainstorming, where you need to disconnect from this environment to a nature, to more of a nature event or to the beauty of an environment. Now, for me, I mean, do I like to go downstate West Virginia and look at the mountains? Absolutely majestic. But for me, I like the beauty of the beach, right? I like to go to the beach, right? But oftentimes we need to be disconnected, right, through all these problem-solving, brainstorming, administrative things, right? So understand, creative rest is an absolute must. Because how often do we struggle with things like writer's block, creative fatigue, burnout, brainstorming, or just problem solving? Well, one of the ways to achieve creative rest is to surround yourself with inspiration while unplugging from all of the other stuff. You hear people say that once in a while, I just need to unplug, I need to disconnect, right? Then she comes to number 7, which is spiritual rest, which is the deepest part of you. It's the deepest part of you, spiritual rest. You need a spiritual rest. Now, that's not talking about a vacation from church, right? That's not what this is. It's actually immersing yourself into the Lord. And we know that Jesus often did that in the middle of ministry, right? He would go off and spend time with the Lord. That's what he did. He would do it often, right? It's actually doing what I'm going to be talking about, or what Jesus is talking about right here in Matthew chapter 11. Now, let me give you the bonus one before we move on. Here's the bonus one that she added, and this is kind of fascinating, even though I hate to speak of it. And I really don't want to mention it because it deals with me, but it is cellular rest. You need cellular rest because your whole body system is suffering a lot of times from exhaustion. Why? Now listen to this. Because you eat too much processed foods. You eat too much junk foods, high fat and sugar, right? Now, I've tried to preach that to you all before, but for whatever reason, I always back away from it. I don't get why, right? I don't understand it, but Doc Smith says that kind of stuff you also need to give yourself a rest from, a cellular rest. Now, listen, I'm just exhausted giving you that. Right? I'm just telling you, I'm just exhausted giving you that. But I want you to listen to what this doctor says. She says this. She says, if I had a dollar for every time she had a client or a patient who would come to her and say, man, I'm just so exhausted. Nothing is helping me. I've tried everything. Nothing has helped me. She said this. She said, if she had a dollar for every time that happened to her, she'd be in the money. That's what she said. She says, I would be in the money every time. Because exhaustion is a serious concern for so many of us today. Amen. And unfortunately, sleep alone doesn't fix this. It doesn't often fix the issue, which is interesting because this comes as we look in our text today in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, this topic of rest happens to be right in the middle of two major crises that Jesus faces. Now, let me ask, is anybody in the middle of a crisis right now? Some going on in your life, some upheaval, some change, some problem, some birth. Is anybody there? Don't be afraid, I am. My daughter just left me. You laugh, that's hard. Right? Well, in our text, Jesus is in the middle of two. He's in the middle of two crises. Now, this is a beautiful passage if you stop and you take the time to read it. In fact, you ought to go home and begin to read at verse 25 and read down to verse 30. Because beginning in verse 25, Jesus begins to praise God the Father, right? He begins to praise him where he begins to pray. That's how he's praising. He begins to pray, right? And this is an extraordinary prayer that he prays, and he's praying for us. He's praying for you and I, right? And the interesting thing about this prayer is that this passage comes right after a major condemnation of three cities by Jesus Christ. It is fascinating Beginning in verse 21 of Matthew 11, Jesus condemns three cities, and he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 21, he says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works," now the mighty works means miracles, right? He's talking about miracles. "So if the mighty works, if the miracles which were done in you had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Now, Bethsaida and Chorazin are villages that are on the north side of the Galilee Sea. You can probably see them up there. They're up on the north part of that sea, right? Along with Capernaum. So you look at those, and they're right there together. So you've got Capernaum, you've got Bethsaida, and just to the north of that, just a little bit, was Chorazin. So those are the three cities, that, and that's what Jesus is saying to them. He's talking to them. He's saying to them, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida, and you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades." Now we know what Hades is, right? Hell, right? "You will be brought down to Hades, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." So this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, if they had seen what you all have seen, they would have repented. They would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. They'd have turned to the Lord, right? Now understand, this was the area of the home of Jesus. This is where Jesus hung out, right? This was his hometowns, right? This was his home area. This was the area where Jesus for 3 years did his ministry. And it's actually those three, if you do that, it's kind of like a triangle. Those three are referred to as the triangle of ministry in Galilee. That's what it's referred to, the triangle of ministry. He probably did more work in Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum than anywhere else. He probably did more work there than anywhere else. And now, you read very little about that area, but this area is where Jesus did most of the miracles. In fact, John said in John chapter 21, verse 23, he said, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen? Amen. So the fact is, Jesus did many, many, many things right there in this area. Now, I want you to get that into your head, right? He did many, many miracles, many, many things. Because he's going to come now, he's going to come to this prayer of praise to the Father. Matthew chapter 25, chapter 11, verse 25. "At the time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes." I want to read this to you again. This is so important. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you," God, "have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes." Now, if you've gotten the gospel, if you and I have gotten the gospel, and you've gotten it, and you have heard it, and you believed it unto salvation, what is Jesus saying to you about that? Well, evidently you're not part of the wise and the intelligent of the world. I mean, look at the verse. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. I didn't say that. That's what he said, right? And you don't believe it? Well, Paul echoes this same thing over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, when he said this, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not noble people are called." Are called. So I guess you should be glad you're a little dumb. Because it seems, according to Scripture, that we get it while many others don't. By the way, which I'm personally thankful because I'm pretty dumb. But I'm thankfully that he revealed it to me. It seems to come to us, right? He's not talking about not being smart. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about being intelligent. You know, there's some people that come off that think that they got it all. That's kind of what he's talking about there. It seems to come to us. We don't, listen, here's the truth. We don't come to him. He comes to us. He reveals himself to us. Then we believe. Look at the text. Don't believe me. Look at the text. And you get away from that here, right? And you can't get away from that here. It's in the text. But back you to Matthew, Matthew 11, 26 and 28. Look what it says. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son. Watch. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. I looked at that and I say, wow, right? And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him, reveals to him what? Look at the next statement. Come to me. Come to me. So he gives all of us this right here. And what he's doing here is he's giving this. He's giving us an invitation. That Christ invites us to come to his redemption. To his redemption that will he won't remove every frustration from us, but he releases us from the burden of life. It's a release more than a taking away. He will release us from the burden of life. Now, that's what he's calling all of these. That's what he's calling all these people to when he gives them that invitation right there. And it's set down right. Watch, it's this invitation. It's set down right between two controversies, two conflicts. Right, it's going on at the same time. It's set right down in the middle of it. There's this invitation, and as soon as he says this, he's into the next controversy with the Pharisees beginning in chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees, these are religious leaders of the day, so the Pharisees are saying, hey, wait! You and your disciples, hey Jesus, you and your disciples here are breaking the tradition of the elders. You're all going through these wheat fields and they're plucking the grain of wheat there and they're eating it. And the Pharisees saw it, right? They saw it. And listen, look what they said. They say, look, Lord, look, not Lord. They said, look, Jesus, that's not lawful to do. You can't do that on a Sabbath. You're breaking the law. That's not permissible for you to do. You're breaking the law of God. You're breaking the law of Moses. You're breaking the law of the tradition of the elders. And there enters in now that controversy now enters in when you come to Matthew chapter 10, you get to Matthew 10, 11, and 12. So let me tell you what's happening behind the scenes. Because Jesus comes in the middle of that and he gives this invitation. But what's going on behind the scenes? It is this. It is the formal rejection of Jesus Christ by the religious establishment. It's the rejection of their rejection of Christ. Why? Because they have cautioned, they have warned, they have spoken, they have made claims, and now they just said, this is it, this is enough, we're done here, and so they reject him. Meaning these cities and this religious leadership in these cities are going to reject him, not to mention the religious leadership down in Jerusalem has already rejected him. And in the midst of that, Jesus does what? In the midst of all this rejection, all this stuff going on, they're trying to put Jesus away, right? He comes and he gives an invitation. So point number one. He gives an invitation to people who are forgotten and forsaken. And listen, there are so many today who feel like this. There are people who feel forgotten, forsaken, isolated, and alone. Now watch this, because he gives an invitation beginning in verse 28 of chapter 11. He says this. He says, listen, you come to me. All you people that are being rejected, you come to me. It's an invitation, watch, it's an invitation to release you from the burden of forgottenness, of loneliness. He says, come to me, all of you. So who is he speaking to? He's speaking to all the people who live in Bethsaida, Chorazin, and those in Capernaum. He's talking to all these people. Why is he doing this? Why? Because all of these religious leaders have already made up their mind to reject Jesus. They've already said, we're done with you. We're done. We don't want no part of you. We reject you. So he offers this to them, and they, the religious leaders, are pressuring the people now. Now the religious leaders come to the people now to reject Jesus as well. They're telling them, you must not follow him, right? Saying, don't listen to him, don't go to him, don't look to him, don't you do any of that kind of thing. Don't be attracted to that, right? You reject him because we're telling you what to do. Now listen to me. When it comes to following Jesus, how often do people scoff or reject the thought of you doing that? How many mock you because you follow Jesus? How many mock you because you're going to church? Well, that's what was going on. That's the way it was here in the text, because that's the way it was in Judaism. Why? You did what the Pharisees told you to do, and if you didn't, they didn't, watch, if you didn't do what they told you to do, they didn't excommunicate you, meaning they didn't throw you out, they didn't excommunicate you, they just declared you fodder. Does anybody know what fodder is? Fodder is food. But it's a special kind of food. Fodder is what they feed the fire in the pits of hell. It's food for the fire in the pits of hell. And that's where you would go if you didn't listen to what you were told. That's where you would be firewood in hell, right? Something to look forward to, right? You would be considered firewood in hell. And so they dictate down to the people, and the people feel like, well, I don't have... Don't I have the say in this? Don't I have any rights in this? Don't I have anything to say about this? Because this man is ministering to me. They see the miracles. They say it. They watch it. They experience it. This man is ministering to me. And you read all through here where the people kept saying, nobody talks like this guy. Nobody talks like this guy called Jesus. Nobody says the things like he says them. Nobody does the things that he's doing. Nobody does these miracles. Do you ever see anybody do the miracles that he's doing here? And all the religious leadership said, basically, we don't care what kind of miracles he does. All those miracles are from the devil. And we don't care. We don't care how many Old Testament passages you think he fulfills. He doesn't fulfill anything for us. And so you had the elite, the upper crust, and the religious elite, and the leaders of that day dictating down to the commoners, right? Dictating down to the commoners, saying this, saying, you have nothing to do with him. You don't listen to him. You don't believe him. You don't trust him. Not anything. You're not to follow him. And so Jesus stands there in the midst of all of this, right? He stands there in the midst of all of this, and he says, you come to me. Yes, all you common people, all the forgotten ones, all the forsaken ones, you're the ones I'm talking to. You guys, the ones that these people are persecuting, the ones that are saying that you're not fit for nothing but hell. He's saying, you come to me. I'm revealing myself to you. Come to me. Now, doesn't that sound like chapter 4 that we read last week? Verse 19, when Jesus comes by Peter and Andrew and James and John, he says what? What did he say to them? Come what? Follow me. And now here he comes and he says, come to me. He turns to all the people and he says, you come to me. You're forgotten. Listen, they've forgotten you. They're not interested in you anymore. They have forgotten you. They dismissed you. They could care less about you. They're making decisions for you. And Jesus calls to these people and he says, you come to me. Regardless of the rejection that is there from those around you. Listen, you can feel as forgotten and left out and as invisible and as unimportant as you can by others, right? And people can reject you and belittle you and make you feel that you have no value, that you have no worth, and you may even begin to believe it. Because you have been beat down and told so many times that you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you're not right, and that you're just over and over and over, they just reject you and belittle you and they just keep it up. And what happens is you begin to believe it. I can remember what this the guy just got saved and baptized. Chad. He says, but I'm not worthy. He kept coming to me. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I says, no, you're not. He says, but I don't understand if I'm not worthy. I says, because God is good. Because God loves you. The only way, the only requirement for salvation is that you be a sinner. You see it? Not good, right? Look, and they keep beating them down. Yet Jesus says, look, come to me. Come to me. Because the truth is, he doesn't forget you. I want you to remember that. If you're here today, Jesus doesn't forget you. He knows who you are. Now, let me give you the second phrase in that little thing. I'm going to scorn right through this, right? Let me give you the second little phrase, which is point number two, because we can become frazzled and faint. Frazzled and faint. Now, all I'm going to do is looking at this verse right here. That's all I'm doing. So he comes and he says, I'm going to relieve you from the burden of being frazzled. Not just the burden of being forgotten, but the burden of being frazzled. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are weary. Some versions say weary. All you who labor and are heavy laden. Now, listen, it's interesting because both of these verbs are different. These are different verbs. Labor means this. Labor means weary and heavy laden. Now, labor is present tense. Labor is present tense. And heavy laden is future tense. And so the two come together. They merge together, right? What happens is he brings these two together. They come together, right? And the interesting thing is that it speaks of this continuous action. It's an ongoing action. It's a continuous action that is taking place. A constant state that this. You're in a constant state of being weary. You're in a constant state of being heavy laden. You know, that seems to be where most Americans are today. Amen? Or oh me. We're just exhausted. And we're tired. We're always just run out. We don't have any more fuel left. We're just at the end of the rope, we say. And we're that way more times than not. We've done all that we can do, and all I want to do is I just want to fall into a recliner somewhere. At the end of the day, after your 8-hour shift, 10-hour shift, or 12-hour shift, when you're headed home, you're going to eat dinner, and what are you looking for? Men. Because I know all these moms don't sit down. Looking for a recliner. Somewhere what? To rest. We're weary and we're frazzled. We're burdened. And the whole concept of heavy laden is this. It's when you're as worn down and as weary, as tired as you can possibly be. Anybody what I'm talking about right there? When you're at that state, isn't it then when somebody comes and dumps about 300 more pounds of something else on you? All this other stuff, right? And they expect for you to get up in your weary state and bear it? That's what Jesus is talking about right here. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's looking at those of us that are weary, that are tired. We've got a burden. We've been touting around for some time now. On top of all this, tired and weary, burdened, your car breaks down on the way home, and you have no way to get to work tomorrow. See that extra 300 pounds? Now, I don't know what kind of burden it may be for you that you're carrying, but for the people of these cities, watch. This is spiritual now, right? And all this that we deal with becomes spiritual. Because sometimes on Sunday morning when God calls us to worship, we say we want to stay home. But for the people of these cities, watch, it's sad. To earn their salvation. That's a big burden. That's a huge burden. Why is that such a huge burden? Somebody tell me why that's a huge burden. They're trying to earn their salvation. Why would that be a burden? You can't do it. It's not possible. It was the burden of trying to live up to what other people thought of you. It was the burden of the Pharisees and the oral law. And I don't do these things. So it is for certain that I'll never see God because I'm not good enough. No, you're not. But God is. Amen. And so they thought they had to work themselves weary. Listen, there are religions out there that still to this day, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and you've got to do the other, right? You've got to do all these things. You've got to go knock on doors. You've got to go witness to so many people in a day, whatever it is, on and on and on. Now, believe it or not, this still happens in some churches across America some 2,000 years later. So there was tremendous burden placed on them. There was this tremendous thing for them to carry. Listen, do you remember what Jesus said? I know he said a lot of things, amen? Take your Bible, look over to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 4, look what he says. For they, meaning the world, right, the world, for they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay themselves on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Apply this to the Pharisees there today. Now let me break that down for you for a second. Jesus here is highlighting the hypocrisy of the religious leaders who impose strict, burdensome human traditions, legalistic rules on the people. Just because you think it's wrong doesn't make it wrong. If the Lord says it's wrong, then it's wrong. And they were pushing this onto them. We're telling you this is wrong, this is wrong. But listen, here's what they did. You're wrong, you're wrong. You know what? You don't straighten up, you're going to go to hell. You too. And you know what? You need to stop this, you need to stop that. Listen, it's easy for me to point the fingers at you, but I, as a follower of Christ, have to give you something to get out of it. I have to offer you something for a way out. Embrace grace. Unwedded pregnant moms. Do we don't say that's right, do we? Right? You should say no. Okay. But we're offering them help. We're offering them a way out so they don't have to carry this burden all alone, right? But here's what he says. Look, they want to push this on you, but they refuse to help you carry those burdens. They refuse to help you. They could care less that you're falling down beneath the load, that you've gotten too much on you. And yet here is Jesus, and what he's saying, come here to me. You're weary and you're heavy laden. Come to me. But come to me, why? Why? Well, look at the, I'm glad you asked me. Look at the third thing he's going to say right here. Point number three, come to me and frustration lifted. Oh, this is huge. Frustration lifted. Jesus says, I'm going to reduce the burden of being frustrated in life. Look, still in verse 28, look in verse 28. Look what he says. I will. Jesus speaking. I will give you rest. I will. Jesus will. I will give you rest. That's Jesus personally speaking that to you personally. Jesus personally, to you personally. Now, the Greek word for rest is a fascinating word. I'm going to try to pronounce it in the Greek, but don't hold me to this. Anapoa. Ana is a prefix, but poa means to be released or to be set free. Now, there's a number of words for that, right? So let's break this down for a second. Ana is a little prefix, and one of the ways you translate it is, Ana, you translate it is, again to be released. Again to be released. Now listen to what Jesus is saying to you here. He's coming, he's saying this. He says you're weary, you're heavy laden, meaning there's more on you than you can possibly carry, more than you can possibly handle, more than you can possibly do, more than you can possibly accomplish. There's more in you than you can just lift, right? There's more on you than that. He says, if you come to me, I will give you rest. Now, it does, watch. It doesn't mean I'm going to take every frustration out of your life. It doesn't mean I'm going to take every frustration out of your life, every bad circumstance and situation that comes out of your life. So let's be clear, that's not what he's saying here. He's not saying, I'll make all the things that frustrate you go away. That's not what he's saying. Lord, may it be, but I know that's not what your word teaches, right? Because I know there's a reason why God allows frustration. You say, what? I said, there's a reason why God allows frustration. He allows it for a reason that most of us, we would never understand at the time it's happening. You know, oftentimes when people say, why is God, why this, why that, why this, why that? I said, and I often look at them, I said, if God told you right now, you probably wouldn't accept it anyways. But listen to what he is saying. And it's this anapao there. The word there means that in the midst of you and you're being in this weary, heavy laden, frustrating situation in this state, right? He says, I will release you. I will release again and again and again and again and again. That's a great word. I will release again and again and again and again. Remember, the tense of the burden heavy laden is a continuous ongoing action. Remember that? And he comes back, he says, will you come to me? And again and again and again and again, I will release. Watch. It's not the circumstance. What he's saying to you is this, I will release you internally, spiritually, from all this frustration. Now listen, Jesus isn't saying I'm going to take it away. He may not even remove it, although sometimes he does, amen? But he says, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to do a work inside of you, down in that deep part that, like the doctor said, down in that deep part of you, I'm going to do a work in you that's personal. That's personal. I'm going to do a work in you, so that it will release you, right? I'm going to do a work in you so that it will release you again and again and again and again, time after time after time after time from this feeling. I'm going to release you from this feeling of just being frustrated in life So let me ask you, do you know what frustration brings? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Anybody know what frustration brings? More frustration. Frustration brings more frustration. Now, you all know we live in a frustrated day, right? Mike said it earlier. Just turn the TV on. There's something wrong. Turn on any news station. The world is in a constant frustration. The world is absolutely upside down. And it is. But do you know what I have? What do you have, Steve? Peace. Why do I have that? In the midst of all this garbage, why do I have it? Because the Lord gave it to me. Do you like what's going on? Neither do I. But in the midst, I have peace. Because I know in whom I have believeth and trust that he can deliver. Right? Look at the people. They're frustrated. You know, I came across a survey from 2023, and listen to this. The survey was titled, "The State of Waiting in Line," which reported that consumer impatience has skyrocketed by 176% year over year. Then it said that by 2024, while this extreme surge in impatience seems to level off slightly, the study found a secondary shift toward frustration, which increased by 126%. And some of the reasons cited are this. Watch. Some of the reasons cited are technology. People have increased expectations for instant gratification, while overall social anxiety has shortened people's fuses. Meaning, everything we do today, if it takes more than 3 seconds to download, we're frustrated. Right? Or if we drive up to the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A or Starbucks and there are, you know, 6 or 8 cars in front of us, which is normal, right? What do we do? Oh, man. Yeah, man, I hope the boss is late, right? We get frustrated. We're frustrated even if we drive up and there are 2 cars in front of us. We're like, why can't I ever just drive up and get straight to the window? Why do I always have to wait? Or if we get stopped at every stoplight that goes through town. Oh, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Or if we get stopped in bridge traffic. Listen, we are folks that live in constant frustration. We live in frustration in our finances, our health, our family, our marriages. I'm not saying in all of them at the same time, but somewhere in those, you can find somebody, right? And what is Jesus saying to us? He's saying, come to me. Listen, every one of those things that I just mentioned and many more, he has the answer to every one of them. He's saying, come to me. I'm going to give you, look, watch. I'm going to give you, not charge you. Not charge you. He says, I'm going to give you I'm not going to charge you. Look, I'm not going to say, hey, go read a book on this. Right? He says, you come to me and I will give you rest. Now, you just hold on. We're getting there. We're getting there. Because this is where it gets sweet. Let me give you the last thing that comes here in this text. Point number 4, where Jesus is saying, you can relieve your frustration through a right relationship. You see, that's what all this is about. The invitation is an invitation to relationship. He says, I want you to understand that in the midst of all of this, all that you're going through, all that's happening to you, I'm going to redirect your focus. You're so focused this way that you forget to focus this way. Listen, the truth is we're so focused on everything else but Jesus most of the time. You remember last week? I encouraged you to do something. I gave you all homework last week when you left here. Oh, look, everybody's scared. Who am I going to call on and what that homework was? Anybody remember the homework that I gave you all last week? I said, this is your homework when you leave here. I'm going to ask you about it next week, so here's your homework. Yeah. I encouraged you to go from here and go out there to be Jesus to someone. I encouraged you to go from here and go out there to be Jesus to someone. I asked you to be intentional about it, remember? I said, be intentional on doing this. Why? Because we're always focused this way and we're not focused this way in the world. Ouch. Ouch. And listen to what he says. So Jesus comes. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Now, here is your part. Jesus says, I'll do this if you do this. Oh, wait a minute. I just want him to make it go away. I just want it to stop. I just don't. Oh, it's still there. Wait. He says, I'll do this, you do this. Verse 29. You take my yoke upon you, personal, right? You take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I told you to go be intentional. Look, this is intentional. You intentionally do this because you want the result of what Jesus is offering you, right? Take my yoke up on you and learn from me. Now, we don't live we don't live in a day where folks understand what a yoke is. It's not come from, I'm not talking about the one that comes from an egg. We barely remember what a harness is. But a yoke was a wooden beam that had two pieces of wood shaped into a U shape, right? It was a wooden beam and it had two U shapes that went under the neck of an ox or a mule, right? And the beam would go across the back of their necks and the U shape would go across the back of their necks and the U piece of wood would go under their necks and they were harnessed together next to each other so that they would pull together, they would work together to be a team together bear the load together, right? That's what it was designed for. Now listen, and let me tell you something. You know the word of God in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 22:10 says this, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Meaning, you did not mix the two together. So let me tell you what they are getting to here. They came to the place where they believed that donkeys were smart and oxen were strong. Right? Smart and strong. So they would yoke a donkey and an ox together, thinking that the donkey is the smart one and the ox is the strong one, right? But what would happen would be the animals would suffer. Why? Why would that happen? Because the ox is significantly larger and stronger, right, than a donkey is. Therefore, it would bear the majority of the weight. But also, the donkey would be forced to work beyond its natural capabilities, right? Capacity, right? Capability, capacity, leading to exhaustion and potential injury. And not only that, but a standard yoke is designed for animals of equal height and strength, not a mismatched pair. And a mismatched pair could cause that heavy wooden beam to chafe, bind, and cut into the animal's neck. It was irritating as they struggled to find balance and rhythm together. Also, the two animals have different gaits, different strides, different, right? And when yoked together, they would pull in different directions at different speeds, causing the plow to go crooked or move in circles rather than cutting a straight furrow. And listen, oxen are generally steady and slow, while donkeys can be independent and stubborn. And now this incompatibility often results in the animals fighting against each other rather than working together. And truthfully, that's where most of us are. That we get yoked up to the wrong thing or the wrong person, amen? We're yoked up to the wrong thing and we think it's smart and we think it's strength and we think it's wisdom and we think it's success and all of that. And what we've yoked ourselves up to is exhausting. It's exhausting and it's working against us and it's doing nothing for us and often it hurts us. And Jesus comes and he says, you need to understand this. You need to come to this. You need to come to this place where you understand this. You need to be yoked to me. You need to be yoked to me. My yoke will fit you. It will fit you. So you need to get into this yoke with me. I'm on one side, you're on the other side. You take my yoke, and this is what you're going to discover. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. You're going to discover I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Watch. And you will find rest for your souls. How many in this place have a weary soul right now? And you will find rest for your souls. It's spiritual. It's deep down inside of you. Who here needs that? Amen. Amen. I see it. Amen. I see that. I got you. Jesus says, come to me. Put my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Follow me, learn of me, follow me. And you're going to find down in the deepest part of you what the doctor called and what Jesus is talking about is spiritual rest. That's how you can be at peace when the world's in chaos. And this rest, this is what Jesus is talking about right here. And you're going to find that deep down inside that being yoked up to Jesus is going to give you some internal rest. Again, let me ask this. Who needs that here today? Well, good news. Jesus comes and listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Right? To get this rest, what you must do this. He says, I want to give it to you, but you must do this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, how many of you see that in verse 29? You see that? You say, I see that. You know what the word learn is there? It's the word methetek in the Greek. It's the word, watch, the word learn is the word disciple. It goes beyond simple intellectual knowledge. I talked to a guy the other day. He says, you know, I've always believed in Jesus Christ my whole entire life. He says, but it wasn't until recently that I understood. It's beyond some simple intellectual knowledge to imply a lifelong practical apprenticeship or learning from experience through a relationship with him. It means disciple. He says to us, I want you to disciple yourself to me. In other words, teach yourself about me. Teach yourself about me. How? Through my word. How does Jesus talk to us? Through his word. Teach yourself about me. Read my word. Teach yourself to follow me. Put into practice what my word says. Follow me. Teach yourself to follow me. That's exactly what we looked at last week. You come and follow me, right? That's what he told them, right? You come and follow me. And now today, he's calling you. He's calling you, come to me. Be my disciple, and in being my disciple, you'll discover that I am gentle and lowly in heart. Let me ask, who needs some gentleness and kindness right now? Amen. Well, Jesus is saying here that I don't treat you the way the world treats you. Amen. I don't treat you the way the world treats you. I don't treat you the way people treat you. And you will find rest for, look at verse 30. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And there are so many people in the church, I'm not talking about it anymore, there are so many people in the church that come to the place where they think, well, being a disciple is this, or being a disciple is that. I'm curious about it. I'm just curious. I'm just going to study. But let me tell you something. You got to move on from curiosity. Listen to me. I'm going to close very quickly, but you're going to want to get this. You got to move. Curiosity is good, but you got to move on from curiosity. But you've got to move from being curious to being convinced. You got to go from curiosity to convinced. And get this, it's not enough to be convinced. It's not enough to be convinced. You got to move from being convinced of this truth, this word of God is truth. You got to be convinced of this truth to being committed to Him. From curiosity to convinced to committed. Listen, you can sit and be curious all day long about the word of God. I love to hear the word of God. I love to read about the miracles. I love all that. I love the parables. I love all this stuff. I love the stories. But let me tell you, listen to how I'm going to say this. You got to be something more than curious. You may even come to the place where you say, I'm convinced. That's right. I'm convinced of that. Well, let me tell you something. That's not enough either, because you're going to have to be committed. You're going to have to come, and when He says, I want you to learn of me, Jesus is saying, I want you to be my disciple, and in being my disciple, you're going to be yoked up with me, and you're going to discover that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And some of you are sitting here saying, but Pastor, it's not. It's not easy and it's not light, Pastor. I've tried. I've worked, and I'm tired. I've done everything that I know that I can do to live out the life of Jesus. I've done everything I know to live out Christ in my life. I've tried to live like Jesus. I've tried to do just like Him. Listen to me closely. You remember years ago the famous saying, what would Jesus do? Pastor, I've tried to do that in all my life. Pastor, I've tried. How can I live out Jesus Christ better? How can I live out Jesus? Now let me ask you this question. Will you, somebody in this place, point out to me the place in the Word of God where it says for you to live like Jesus? It's no wonder we're exhausted. It's absolutely no wonder why we're exhausted. Because you want to know why? I need to duck. You want to know why you're exhausted? It's because you are not called to live like Jesus. You're called to let Jesus live through you. You are the image bearer, right? You're called to let Jesus live through you. Amen? Oh, Lord, that's the difference. I want you to get, that's the difference. If you get that, if you get this, quit you trying to live like Jesus and let Jesus live through you. Learn of Him. Take His yoke. Follow Him. Let Him live through you. If you get that, oh, you get set free. Whew. How many times you ever heard somebody came on the side and said, man, I just had the huge burden lifted off of me. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Question, do you need this rest Jesus is speaking about today? He says, come to me and I'll give it to you. You come to me, I'll give it to you. You come to me,
Jesus says, I'll give it to you. Oh, I don't think we got it. Jesus said, if you come to me, I'll give it to you. Let's stand.
Listen to me, friends. No matter how forgotten, frazzled, or frustrated you feel, that right now, Jesus is still saying to you, come to me and find real rest. Now, here's the question. In the deepest part of you, is Jesus revealing himself to you? And you say, well, Pastor, how do I know that? Is he saying, come to me? Then come. Father God, may your word speak louder than any word I ever spoken. And may your spirit move mighty amongst your people in this place. And that you would reveal yourself to many. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come? Jesus is inviting you. Didn't speak about moms enough today, right? Well, listen,
I did. I talked about rest. Listen, all you children, go home and let your mom sit down for the day. All right? Give her a rest. I see fingers pointing all over. I see people looking. And listen, give mom a rest today. You know how you love her? Do the dishes. Sweep the floor. Do the laundry. Listen, you'll show her the appreciation she deserves, amen? Now listen, there are people in here today that want to be moms and never had the opportunity or couldn't be moms. And we love you. And we appreciate you. And you know what? There's somebody in this place that needs a mom. There is. And I can tell you, I know there is. Be a mom to them. Show them some love. Let them love on you, all right? But don't forget, when you leave, all women, when you leave, there's something for you, all right? Every woman in this place, there's something for you. And don't forget, please help us set up tables downstairs. Thank you. God bless you. You're dismissed.